the radiance of this crystal clear day and the sun shining glorious in the sky does not mask the truth that we all experience deep in the depths of our hearts, that there is uncertainty in our midst, there is heaviness in our world, there is brokenness all around us. But perhaps in the midst of this uncertainty, the greatest insight, the greatest invitation that the Lord can make is to rediscover His goodness, the unexpectedness of the goodness of God, which radiates even in the midst of these uncertain times. I think the Lord is making an invitation as He draws close to remind us of His goodness, of His nearness. I invite you to turn your attention to the screens. In the days before smartphones, at least the days before I had a smartphone, there were other sorts of ways to get news, and one of those ways, of course, is the newspaper. But one of the other ways when I was living in the seminary was the bulletin board. It was right in the lobby, and the rector of the seminary would post things on the board. Some of those things had to do with perhaps unexpected things coming up, family members of seminarians who were in grave need of prayer, and maybe an update about what was going on, and maybe someone was very close to death. Some was about news happening around the campus or around the Twin Cities, maybe even global events that were taking place. And the rector would post throughout the course of the day in that central place. And I remember often walking into the lobby of the seminary and seeing a whole circle of seminarians peering at the board, trying to see what it was that was said. What was the news? What was new there? And what was the reaction going to be? Sometimes in our lives, I would say more than sometimes, always in our lives, there is a way in which what comes at us as wave after wave after wave of news, which we need to be attentive to, and yet which comes as wave after wave after wave, that breaks down something in us of our awareness and our trust that God is fundamentally near and God is fundamentally good. Admittedly, I've never been the most informed among my family, among my brother seminarians. I trusted living in the seminary, someone would catch me up on what was going on. I've never been great at keeping up with the news. I wasn't in seminary. I'm still not as good as I should be as a priest. And yet I think there's a profound reminder. The rector of our seminary sometimes asked us, what is your reaction when you see news posted there on the bulletin board or headlines or in your Twitter feed? Is our reaction a deeper compassion, a deeper movement to prayer and intercession, calling out to God, Lord, show yourself, reveal yourself, remind us that you are here and that you're good and that you're not just letting this spiral out of control. He would sometimes say, God is not up there watching CNN, wringing his hands, wondering what's going to happen next. He's not watching Fox News either. The goodness of our Father, the goodness of God, is an unexpected reminder that breaks upon us in the midst of these uncertain times. Because in these days, even on crystal clear September mornings, the goodness of God is seemingly eclipsed. It seems as though the love of God is not with us. As the world events around the globe, national tragedies were 15 years ago today, the staggering events of 9/11, the terror, the fright, and the violence, local sorrows in our own state and neighborhoods, uncertainty about the future, uncertainty about today, uncertainty about our personal hopes and dreams, personal losses, anxieties, doubts, hurts. You see, all of that moves in a direction as those waves break over us that would put God's goodness into eclipse, that would hide from us that basic truth that God is a Father who is near and more close to us than we could ever imagine or acknowledge. My brothers and sisters, today, the Lord Jesus makes an invitation. And he insists in the revelation of the Father's love to say, this is what my Father is like. As we saw the nearness of those fathers to their beloved sons, Jesus insisting and proclaiming with the power of his cross and the strength and the beauty of his resurrection, radiant over sin and death, that our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. I'd like to focus on the parable, that beautiful and rich parable, for a moment. But to speak of the two sons as occupying two spiritual spaces, not geographical spaces, but spaces in terms of their relationship to their father. The first is obvious. We hear of the younger son who sets off to a distant country. He takes his collections, he takes his belongings, he takes the inheritance. He says, not even thank you very much, but I'm on my way out the door. And he goes. And we see what happens as he distances himself from the goodness of God, as the goodness of his father is eclipsed. Because ultimately his selfishness, even his cruelty towards his father, his ungratefulness, his pride, his desire to be totally independent, leads him down paths of emptiness. His loose living, his hedonism, leads him to great weariness. He can't even pursue the pleasures that he once did because they have been so fleeting that they have left him empty. And he's left with profound, deep, guttural hunger because he realizes that nothing can satisfy when he is far from the Father. And it is in that shame, in that humiliation, in that misery, that he acknowledges his distance from the Father and so repents and so arises and so returns and is met by the unexpected gestures of his Father. But make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, the second son, the older son, was also distant from the Father. Listen to the detail after the return of the younger son. The older son, who had been out in the field, and he was on his way back as he neared the house. It's almost like he's just a slave, and he describes himself in that way. I've been one of your servants here working beside you and on this land. But you see a deep spiritual distance from the Father. Notice how he's unaware of what the Father's hope has been, the Father's desire to see that other son return. Notice how detached he is from his Father. He might live right beside him. He might live in the very house. But he's so distant in heart. And in that son's sullenness, in his anger, in his resentment, in his bitterness, in his enviousness, in his accusations against the goodness of his Father, he remains unmoved. He remains unconsolable. And he ultimately becomes disrespectful and even disowning as he points to the one who has come back and he says, your son did it all and you have brought him back into the embrace. And the father reminds him, that is your brother. You are my sons together. I think this is a profound reminder that distance from the Father, as our world is distant from the Father, our world has gone wandering from the Father in all sorts of directions, in all sorts of ways. But remember, separation from the Father translates into a separation among brothers and sisters. How profound it is that we see great fragmentation. The world is inevitably fragmented as it is falling away from communion with its God and Creator. The world is divided. The world is racked by strife, not just out there, but even in our own hearts and neighborhoods. In the bloodshed and the waves of death that we hear of, death brought on human beings by other human beings, the drama of Cain and Abel playing itself out in our own day. Our world is broken. Because our world and even us who are here today to receive the great gift of our Lord and his love are distant from the Father. And unless we let the Father embrace us, unless we let the Father draw us close and call us to himself, we will also be distant and hard-hearted towards our brothers and sisters. Separation from the Father always translates into a separation among brothers and sisters. And my friends in Christ, vague secular humanism and talk of peace and even peace negotiations and the talk of fellowship and tolerance and getting along, none of this is enough, but only the communion to which Christ calls us in his body, the church. He makes an invitation to be reconciled with our God and with, at the same time, our brothers and sisters. You see, the pleading of that older son with his father to say, how could you hold back from me the gift that you lavish upon that younger son who has wasted it all? But what he desires, what that older son hopes for, is merely a feast where he can choose the attendees. I just wanted a lamb to feast, a young goat to feast on with my friends. But the goal of life is not just to feast with our friends, to celebrate with those that we prefer to be in the midst of. And in the father's pleading to enter the feast, he respected profoundly the freedom of that son. And it's almost as if the son is filing grievances against him. And the sadness is that the son has been set up for disappointment, because the unexpected goodness of God is precisely in that he wants to share the feast not only with us, but with many others that perhaps we don't want to share with at all. You see, the goal of life is not to share a feast with our friends, but to share a feast with our Father. And in our Father's house are all and many of our brothers and sisters. The goal of life, the gift of heaven which the Lord desires to prepare us for, is to be with God. To be with God, just as those parables spoke of. Rejoice with me, says the shepherd. Rejoice with me, says the woman. Rejoice with me and your son, your brother, says the father in the parable. And the reminder is profound, that as the father gathers to himself so many children who have wandered and been scattered, those who are distant and have been brought near, those who have been lost and are found, we ourselves are called to deeper communion and reconciliation. In the brokenness of our age, in the wave upon wave of nightly news and breaking news, our Father is calling out in great goodness, but also in great patience, that we would be reconciled to him and to one another. You see, both sons forsake their father, and in forsaking him, they were alienated from one another. And we see so much of this as brother and sister turn against brother and sister. But in drawing close to the embrace of the Father, we must allow ourselves to be drawn close to one another. I want to finish with an invitation, because that parable is unfinished. The question is, the good father's unexpected invitation has been made, but will we rise and go to our Father in trust and confidence that his goodness shines through even the waves that seem to obscure it? I want to make a twofold invitation. The first is an easy invitation. It's to come next week into the fall festival. And that's not a petty thing to say. A festival among those who believe is a great reminder that even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of real difficulty and misery in our world, we are called to be brothers and sisters and to find a place where we belong and we can give thanks. Although it's just a pale comparison, a festival of a parish is a foretaste or a glimpse of that fellowship which we will share in the life of God in heaven. So come next weekend and find that the Father is inviting you and inviting many to belong and to be. And then the second invitation is a more demanding one. I'm new to these homily series here at Holy Name. Perhaps some of you are new to them as well. But I encourage you to come along with us. Come along with Father Steve and I. Come along with our whole parish community. Enter into the scriptures. We're going to have these several weeks that are moving forth from this Sunday. Three series this fall, all under this title of Unexpected. A great reminder of the unexpected generosity that has been God's and to which he calls us. The unexpected mercy that we'll revisit, a theme that we brought up last year. And I am not afraid. We're going somewhere from now until the Feast of Christ the King. And the Feast of Christ the King is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Another feast, another national commemoration where we recall our great debt of gratitude for the goodness and the nearness of our Heavenly Father. The reminder of that seminary bulletin board, the reminder of my rector, was to consume the gospel more than the media. Are we willing to do this? Are we willing to get deep into the scriptures in these days to see where the Lord and the church is inviting us to come? Are we willing to turn to prayerful reflection? Are we willing to be ready to respond to these scriptures, these invitations that are made? I invite you to dig into the scriptures. You can use the USCCB website, usccb.org. You can use your daily missalettes. You can use your Bibles. Enter into the scriptures. Come with us, because we're going somewhere. There'll be questions for reflection, for discussion, for prayer. But my suggestion as you read the scriptures is to focus on those details that have been previously unnoticed, those seeming side points of the stories and the parables. You see, Jesus was a masterful storyteller, and God, who inspired the scriptures, filled it with so many details, and each and every detail is dripping with meaning. My friends in Christ, I invite you to open your heart to the invitation of the Father. Our world is so estranged from him, and it is no surprise then that we are estranged from one another. Let us allow the Father to reconcile us to himself and to one another this day and in the uncertainty of our times. Let the goodness and the nearness of God be the great unexpected light that shines in the darkness of our hearts.